Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Such a good message and song. Joshua chapter 3, if you're there, we're going to go back into the Word of God. I want to share with you the title of our message would be Getting Our Feet Wet, because if you as you read this passage, it's a great passage on how, well, of course, it takes off from where the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And many of those who wandered in the wilderness actually died off. Many of them didn't get to cross over. It was the younger, I guess you might say, some of the younger crowd, Joshua in particular, who now were at a point where, as God kept His promise, God was going to lead them into the promised land. So the time had come for them to cross over into the promised land, as we see here. As they made ready for the crossing, it was necessary for them to be reminded of God's presence and God's promises and what to look toward and look forward to. Much like when we have revival services. I love revival services. It's that opportunity thank God for what He's done for us in the past and what we look forward to what He's going to do in the future. We need revival from time to time like that. Well, the children of Israel were at a point they needed revival. And God was giving them a fresh start by allowing them to cross over into the promised land. And, of course, they needed God's help and God's direction. God had a plan. If they would follow that plan, He would lead them across safely and do wonders. But yet they had to get their feet wet. They had to be willing to get their feet wet. Now, they needed something to occupy their thoughts as they crossed over into the new land. You know, the children of Israel is not any different than us, than those of us today. Sometimes we get to serving God, and if we don't have revival from time to time or that fresh start from time to time, sometimes we get in a rut as Christians, don't we? Sometimes we get into our comfort zone. And that's what God was trying to teach Joshua here in preparing the people as they get ready to cross. They had to do certain things in preparation to cross over into the promised land. They needed something to, in other words, to occupy their thoughts, because if not, some might fix their sight upon the past and want to remain where they were. Sometimes, you know, that's the way it is as Christians. Sometimes we get in our comfort zone of the past, and, you know, if you're like me, sometimes you don't like change. One of the first things I remember when I came to Fountain City years ago was the fact that people were wondering what kind of changes this new preacher was going to make. And you know what? There was some needed changes. But I assured the church there's one thing that I promise you that will never change, and that is the doctrinal truths of God's Word. Anything that we do as a church will be based around the Word of God. And if it's not, then there's no need of changing it. Now, granted, there are sometimes we get in a rut as Christians and sometimes as churches, and it's good every now and then. My mom, boy, she was one that liked to change the furniture around. If ever there's one person, you walk in the house, and sadly, you remember that, don't you, Paula? Sadly, every time there's a furniture change, we were involved in the furniture change, okay? And so, you know, if you came to my mom's house, every week it was just different. And she was going to move furniture around, lamps around. I mean, she just never liked things in the same place. And we would tell her, Mom, it looks good. Let's just keep it the way it is. And because we got tired of moving things a little bit, you know. We kind of enjoyed the past. But she was right. You know, she was the head of the household when it came to the house. And it was her way. And so we did what she said. And you know what? It was home. And she made it that. And, but there are times, though, we get kind of fixed on things and we get fixed on the past. And that's the way the children of Israel, God was trying to occupy their thoughts as they were about ready to cross over into the promised land, because you see, they had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And you have to understand, after wandering for those many years, they'd kind of gotten in a rut, probably. Kind of gotten used to doing things this way. Kind of like sometimes, well, this is the way we've always done it, and we're not going to move. You know, God had to occupy their time. Occupy to get their mind and thoughts off of the past and look forward to what God had for them in the future. If not, others might fix their eyes upon the river. And so God had to occupy their thoughts that way. As they were going to cross over this river, Jordan River, God had to occupy their thoughts and their minds when they got ready to cross. Because, you know, some people are afraid of water. Some people are afraid to cross over. You know, that means if we're going to... Some are going to leave their homeland. Some are going to leave what they've been used to. And God had something better for them. But they had to cross over the River Jordan. Now, to get across the River Jordan, you know, they didn't know all how God was going to do this. But God had a plan. So, and then still, to occupy their thoughts, to be able to cross over into the new land, there were others who might look at the unknown. And they might look at the unknown and the other side thinking, well, I don't know what's ahead of me. You know what? We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? But if we stay hemmed up in our own lives and our homes and never get out and venture out, we'll never be able to experience what sometimes God has for us. And so they could have easily said, no, I'm afraid of, you know, venturing out. So God had to occupy their thoughts, that particular group, those who were just, you know, the doubting Thomases, like. The unknown. Joshua told the people in verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, remove from your place and go after it. The ark of the covenant was the sign of God's presence was among them. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, you can be assured, in paraphrasing here, when you see the ark of the covenant, you can know that God is with us. You see, there is a certain amount of security in the past, isn't there? We know what has happened and we can cope with it, as I mentioned earlier. Fear grips the heart of many who are afraid sometimes of what might happen in the future. And so they determine they're going to continue to live in the past. But we've got to go on sometimes as God's people. Joshua told the people, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 5, he said that. See the Ark of the Covenant? That's God's presence. Tomorrow, God's going to do wonders among you. You know, God has so much more for us. God has so much more, church, for us in the tomorrow than He does in the yesterday, doesn't He? Now, by that, you know, the past, no matter how wonderful or how blessed, cannot compare with what God has in the future. Now, as Christians, we're not able to look at a crystal ball and see in the future. You know what? Because the crystal ball, really, we don't put any hope in. But we can look in the Word of God. And if you've read this book from the beginning to the end, it tells us our future. It really does. And if you're a child of God here today, we know how it's all going to end up. Now, you turn on the news today, And boy, it's some terrible stuff going on in our world today, in our country. But thank God, if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, we know that, hey, there's a great day one day that's coming. Because God has told us in the end. God has told us if you have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, man, there's a better future. And by the way, until Jesus comes, there is a great future for the believer who puts God first in their life, and that's the key. You know, if you're trusting your bank account today, that could be gone tomorrow. If you're trusting your good health that you have today, that can be gone tomorrow. Listen, if you're putting your faith and trust in somebody to take care of you, listen, they could bail out on you. But God is always there. And so God had told the children of Israel, see the ark? Now don't touch it. But just know there's God, that's God's presence. And what God's getting ready to do, verse 5, God's getting ready. If you'll just watch God, is what he's saying here, Joshua. You'll see God do wonders. So the time had come for them to cross over. But it was humanly impossible for them to do it. So they needed God to intervene. And we'll see that in just a moment. The same is true for our lives as believers, isn't it? We've got to push forward into victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to do so, in order for us to have victory in our life, we need God to intervene. We need God to direct us. We need God to show us the way. So I want you to consider with me and learn from the experience that we find here in the life of God's people. I want you to look with me and see that God has a preparation that was necessary for them to cross over into victory, which is the same for us today. The first thing, if you're taking notes, notice the people were in verses 1 through 6, as we just read, they were sanctified, meaning that the word sanctification, the sanctification really in the shortest end of the way to define that is just holiness. They exemplified holiness. The words mean to be really set apart. Better way to understand it, to be set apart for God. It carries a twofold application. If, first of all, we're to be set apart from sin, as we looked at last week, and to be set apart for the service unto God. In other words, listen, if we want God's intervention in our life and God's direction, and we truly want to live victorious Christian life, then we cannot live in sin. Now, we're going to sin till Jesus comes. We're still sinners. But, you know, if you're saved, you're a saved sinner under the grace of God who's forgiven you. But I won't get my perfect body till I get to heaven one day, my sinless body. But listen, I do want to, as a child of God, and many in this room know Christ as Savior, I do want to daily live a victorious Christian life. In other words, I do want to get to a point like Paul. I want to strive to perfection. In other words, I want to sin less every day. I want to get to the point to where I don't make God unhappy every day. Just like my parents. You know, I know as a kid, I look back, I was a terrible little boy. You were too, so hush. For those that don't know, that's my little baby brother over there that I used to beat up all. Yeah. No, but when I was a kid, listen, I don't say that proudly. I look back and I think, boy, I now know why my mama got a switch after me every now and then. I know why, you know, I got those whippings when I needed. My mama never abused me. Today she might be put in the category of abuse, but she never abused me. She gave me exactly what I needed at the time I needed it. And I'm thankful for it now. I didn't tell her that then. But you know what? As I grew and I began to grow up and I began to mature as a boy and became a young man and now an older man, I look back, you know, I realize if I could go back and undo some of the pain and hurt I put my mama through, I would take care of that. Because I would want to say, sin less toward my mom. You know, that ought to be what it's like as a Christian. As we mature like Paul and we want to strive to perfection, the older we become in our walk with God, we ought to strive to say, I don't want to sin. You know, we can say no to sin. God gives us a way out. And God gives us the ability to say no to sin. But the old flesh, the temptation, the devil likes to use that to draw us in the net to disappoint God. And that's what sin does. Well, we're to be set apart. Sanctification means to be set apart from sin and set apart for the service of God. So that's a twofold application. So to be sanctified is really to be set apart for God's purpose. To be set apart for God's purpose. So the people were sanctified. They were set apart for God's purpose. They're now ready to go over into the promised land. Now that other group, many of them had died off, that wandered in the wilderness. Moses was one of them. But yet they were good people. They were Christians, but yet they were not sanctified to the point they were not set apart to go over into the promised land. Joshua He needed it. In verse 1, Joshua says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning." And by the way, just because you're saved don't mean, well, I'm set apart for the rest. We have to be sanctified every day. I don't have to get saved every day. I'm saved until Jesus calls me out of here. But I do need to every day get along with God and determine, hey, I want to be set apart this day for God. So every day there needs to be that fresh renewal, not for salvation's sake. Once saved, always saved. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. But the word sanctification is to be set apart from sin unto God for His service. So Joshua got along. He realized, hey, he rose up early in the morning. He took time to get along with God, to talk with God. And it wasn't up to Joshua to try to figure out how they were going to get across Jordan. I don't even know if Joshua knew yet what God's plan was. So, because it wasn't up to him. He didn't have the plan. But yet God was going to reveal to him the plan, and Joshua was going to in turn share that with the God's people. So God has commanded and He would provide a means, as He always does. If we're going to have victory, He's always has a plan for us to have victory in our daily life. Yesterday's gone, church. We're not able to do anything in the world about yesterday, can we? There's some things that, as I've said, I've confessed, my mom, I'm going to see her in heaven, and she already knows how I feel. But yet, you know, as I said, if I could go back and undo some things that I did in the past, I'd do it. But yesterday's gone. Now, if it's under the blood and God's truly forgiven you, then thank God for that. That's why we look that way. But now God says to the children of Israel, look toward the future, what God has for you. And every day ought to be a day like that when we wake up. So God has commanded that He would provide a means for Israel to accomplish this task, to cross over. They didn't know how they were going to get over Jordan. I mean, they would literally... there's not a boat big enough from all the... We're talking about well over 2 million people. There's not a boat big enough for them to cross over Jordan. I mean, they couldn't walk on the water. So now how they're thinking, how are we going to do this? Joshua's thinking, how are we going to do this? But listen, he knew God had a plan. So the people, not only Joshua need to get along with God, but the people need to get along with God. Verse 3, they were commanded to keep their eyes upon the ark of God. In other words, what did the ark represent? It represented God's presence. The ark was a reminder that God's presence and promises is a symbol of His presence among us. We need to fix our eyes also, church, upon the Lord and remember His promises to us. God has nothing new to share with us today. Let me say that again. There's nothing new that God has to share with us today. Everything that God wants us to know is wrapped up in 66 books called the Bible. So when next time you hear somebody on television that tells you, hey, God has given me a new prophecy or something new to share with you, hold on, listen. As soon as they make that statement, they're lying. Because God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice today as He did some men of old and have them to pin anything new. Everything that God wants us to know is revealed right here in His precious Word. Now, how do we understand it? Well, you need to be saved. Now, anybody can read the Bible, but only a child of God can truly, can God speak to through the Spirit of God. Now, where's the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God dwells within the children of God. If you're a child of God, then that the moment that you invited Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. And God reveals His truth to us through His Word. Where's His promises then, preacher? Right here. So what we look to God as the one who gives us the direction, because God has... I've read this book. There's not a place in here that tells me God's going to ever fail me, because God never fails. We need to sanctify ourselves to be used of God. That's the key. Every day to be set apart this day for God. In other words, if there's unconfessed sin, make it right with God. Confess it. Get it right. And determine this day with God's help and God's intervention, I'm going to live victorious. Because you know why? You may be faced with a Jordan in your life. You may be faced with something right now and you don't know how you're going to get through it, but and it's going to take a miracle or whatever. It's going to take God's intervention. And listen, if we're not walking with God, if we're not sanctified with God, then you know what? That's going to be tough to get across that Jordan that's in your life. Matter of fact, you won't be able to. So the people, they were sanctified. And then secondly, the Lord was glorified. Look in verse 7. We didn't read that, but verse 7 in chapter 3 and down to verse 13. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify, that is, exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou or you shall command the priest and that bear, that is, that carry the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water, that is, to the water's edge, when you come to the water's edge of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. So the idea, when you get to the water, you've done this before, maybe at a lake or a beach or whatever, you get to the water, you don't want to walk too far out, you don't want to get too wet, or you don't want to fall in or whatever. So God says, won't you take... Now, what do you do when you stand on the edge? Well, there's nothing but... You're not looking around, you're looking out. And God says, just stand there. Just stand on the water's edge. Verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, that is, come here, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, what Joshua is saying, hey, you go stand on the water's edge, then listen. Just listen. You're going to hear the Lord. And notice verse 10, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. How do you know that? They're standing on the water's edge. How are they going to know the living God's among them? Because they're hearing Him. That's what verse 9 says. They're standing still and they're listening. So you'll know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from the before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the, all these ites. Would you just agree they're all ites? All right? And they're enemies. God says, hey, I'm going to take care of your enemies. Stand on the water's edge. Listen for God to speak. Notice verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes or crossing, or is crossing over before you into Jordan, or ahead of you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. So you got to understand there are 12 tribes of Israel. And each one had different leaders that God had appointed. And so take you 12 men out of your tribe, which again, well over 2 million people that was represented in all these 12 tribes. And notice verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down, that flow down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. That is, that the water will literally stand as one heap, or like a dam, one heap. So the Lord was glorified in this. The Lord was glorified in the Lord was in command. In other words, sometimes we like to take charge, don't we? Verse 7, God was glorified because he was in control. Would you agree with what's going on here? God was in control. In other words, God gets the glory, but He uses individuals. God has always had a leader, and Joshua was the leader whenever there was a job done. And the Lord laid out a plan. Verse 8, we see the plan that God had laid out. And the priests were to carry the ark to the edge of the Jordan, and then they were to step into the water and wait for God to work a miracle. Now, verse 8 says they were go to, in the latter part, verse 8 says they were go to the water's edge, and they were to stand still. You see, the priests were to stand there to permit a time for God's word to be shared. Verse 9. What was God's word going to do? It was going to stimulate reflection on the greatness of who God's imminent action in giving the land as he showed in his presence. In other words, you know, when you go on that water's edge and you begin to hear God speak, you're going to know God is present. Now I've never had God come down and speak to me audibly, and that's not going to happen in our lifetime. But have you ever had a time where you've opened God's Word and you just know that, hey, God has spoke to me through a verse or scripture or a passage or a message? And that's what they were, because you see, all they could see was that body of water that hasn't opened up yet. And they were wondering, how are we going to get across to the promised land? So God was preparing them to allow the people to follow His plan. And if they would follow His plan, they would see a miracle take place before their eyes, which would stop the waters. God was going to stop the waters so they can cross over. So they had to step out, though, by faith. Isn't that what we do every day? We practice faith every single day in our life. And if we're going to have victory in our life and we're going to overcome the obstacles in our life that come our way and we're going to trust God to get us through the Jordans, then there's going to have to be the practice of faith before we can see the miracles of God work. God does some miracles in our life sometimes that we sometimes don't realize it. You ever thought about that, riding down the road in your car and you ever thought you've seen accidents take place and people that just a few cars ahead of you were in an accident and you're thinking, you know, pray for them, but thank God He spared you. You know, we never know nowadays. There's a lot of things that we just don't realize how God intervened, but yet we didn't know about it. We won't know about it till we get to heaven. But God does daily miracles, but yet they stepped out by faith. And by the way, before God can work in our lives to do wonders, then we've got to practice daily faith and trust Him. And then God gets all the glory, because He should. Joshua delivered the message. Look in verse 9. So he delivered the message. 9 down to verse 13. Joshua didn't say, listen to me, did he? He didn't say, listen to me because I'm your leader. Listen, I'm somebody special. He didn't say that. God had promised him that soon there would be no doubt in their minds that he was God's man. Joshua simply said in verse 9, hear the words of the Lord your what? Your God. Don't listen to me, but listen to what God says. And God spoke. It was a message of encouragement. Verse 10, you shall know the living God is among you. It was a message of confidence. In verse 10, he reminds the people, God will not fail. Church, we can and we must put our faith and trust in God to have the confidence daily to be victorious. Because God never fails. I love the old hymn. That says, Jesus what? Jesus never fails. He doesn't. So they heard that message. And then it was a message of victory that God said through Joshua that I'm going to drive out from before you the Canaanites. And he listed all the enemies there. And it was a message of miracles. And he says, they shall stand upon a heap. In other words, the water like a dam was going to be held back, where now they'll be able to cross over into the promised land. Look in verses 14, verse 7 through verse 17, and we'll see where the word of God was verified. Look in verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that is to cross over Jordan, and the priest bearing, that is they're carrying the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that carried the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bare the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. In other words, this is a heavy time of year for the water to be flowing. But isn't that the way God works? God does wonderful miracles when sometimes it seems like there's no way. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, that is one heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zartan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. In other words, everything was completely cut off there. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, verse 17, stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Did God keep His promise? He sure did. Now, did the people play a part in this? For God to keep His promise? They sure did. Listen, folks, it's important that we work together. God has promised that if we will do our part, He's going to come through. In other words, their part was just to trust Him. Their part was to be sanctified, to be set apart. You listen, come clean. And then watch God work. The people were obedient in verse 14. The priests were obedient in verse 15. And verses 16 and 17, we find that God was true to His word or His promises. So as the soles of their feet dipped into the water, God stopped the flow of water. And He caused it to heap up, the Bible says. And the priest stood on wet ground? Dry ground. You mean, preacher, surely it wasn't dry. I mean, because this water had been there for hundreds of years or whatever. If God says it was dry, folks, it was dry. I just believe that. I don't believe that they got their socks wet or whatever. Listen, it was dry ground. The God of all power, listen to me, who created heaven, who created earth, and all else, according to Genesis chapter 1, worked miracles right here in Joshua chapter 3. So their feet touched the water, but the time that they touched the bottom, the time their feet touched the bottom water, it was what? Dry ground. All of the Israelites, the Bible says, passed over. And all God's people said, amen. Only God could do that. So what is the application here this morning, preacher? How do I apply that to my life? Keep in mind, we'll never walk in victory, church, until we're willing to step out by faith and we're willing to get our feet wet. You know, we've got to be willing to step out by faith and trust God to do the rest, don't we? I don't know what it takes, what you're going through in your life. And I'm not one of these happy, happy preachers that everything in life is happy, okay? I try to be happy. But I realize that we live in a tough world where we battle sin and temptation daily. But I do know this, God wants us to live victorious Christian lives. And sometimes we think, well, I can't get rid of that sin. We need to every day determine if we're a child of God that, hey, I want to sin less because I want to live in victory. I want to determine that, listen, I can't do what I want to do unless God helps me. And it may take a miracle. You know, that child, that wayward child that maybe some of you have in your that you are praying for, that God will just bring them back. Listen, it's going to take a miracle. Well, God's still in the miracle-making business. Or that need. You know, if we hesitate and balk at the message of God, and if we refuse to step out in obedience, then we're limiting the blessings that God has for us. Because we have a God who has some unlimited blessings. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." God says, do it. Do what I said to do. If you'll do what I said do, then I'll show you as He showed children of Israel. God's man delivered God's message to God's people. They heard and they obeyed. And as a result, they passed over in victory. You know, they would never have experienced the promised land had they not been obedient. You know, there may be some in this room this morning. You've been holding back. You say, well, I'm not ready to get saved. You'll never experience the blessings of salvation unless you first realize, hey, I need Jesus. Or if you are a Christian here this morning, you'll never experience God's blessings in the truest sense and true victory unless you're willing to say, hey, I'm going to put God first in my life and not somewhere else down on the list. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? Let me ask you the question. Do you want victory in your life? If you do, then why not follow God's plan that He showed us right here in the book of Joshua? Father, thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, truly, if there's one soul in this room today, under the sound of my voice, that is not a child of God, In other words, they're not sure if they died they'd go to heaven. I pray, Father, that they would take that step of obedience, of inviting you in their life by believing and accepting by faith the grace that's offered to them and that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Thank you for your great love for all of us, Lord. And Lord, for the many in this room that have accepted you, and if there's some that are looking back to the past and still trying to live in the past, Lord, help them to find relief and just confess that and make it right with you. Or if there's some unconfessed sin here this morning, or Lord, just whatever the need is, Lord, I pray that we'll do what you'd lead us to do. If it's baptism, church membership, Lord, lead us. Only you can lead through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our musicians have come this morning. You'll hear our invitation hymn. And it's an invitation for you to come to Jesus. In whatever manner you may be this morning, if you're lost, saved, God is speaking to you this morning. I invite you to come. The altars are open, not just to church members. This is for anyone. God is tugging at your heart. Would you be obedient to that tug at your heart? Much like the children of Israel, to know victory and to know God's blessings, we must take that first step. Let God take the rest. Come to Jesus today. Thank you for being here today, and I had 15 more minutes I could go. I can't believe it. No, I'm just kidding with you. Listen, thank you for being out. You see, God knows, Brother Johnny, I almost beat you today on time. A little more work? Okay. No, listen, we're led of the Spirit, right? And that's what we want to be always. Thank you for being here. Now, let me encourage you to be back tonight at 5 o'clock for our evening service. You'll thoroughly enjoy tonight's service, and hopefully you'll be able to be back. And make sure if you hadn't met some of our guests here today or somebody you hadn't shook hands with and greet them, do that before you leave today. It's been a great Lord's Day, hasn't it, already? I trust you'll have a good day of rest and see you at 5. Let's bow for prayer. Johnny, dismiss us, please.